not Psalms, Proverbs 14. Proverbs chapter 14. We're looking at the passage, verse 28 through 35, and I'm not going to read the entire passage this morning owing to time. But we began looking last week at life's contrast. Life's contrast, not last week, but the last time that I spoke. We began looking at the public life. The public life, number one, and this morning we're going to pick up with the private life. Life's contrast regarding the private life. Verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Now what we are looking at is patience and a haste of temper. The contrast of patience versus a hasty temper. It is like both are branded here. He that is slow to wrath and he that is hasty of spirit. They are branded either with the mark of understanding or with the mark of foolishness. One or the other. The scriptures exhort us to possess our souls in patience. Whosoever is out of patience is out of possession of his soul. Luke 21:19. Luke 21:19, in the words of our Lord and Savior, in your patience possess ye your souls. You've heard someone say that I'm losing my patience. I'm losing my patience with you. Or I'm out of patience. I've just run out of patience. Well, that should not be the case for the Christian. It is amazing, and it is amazing to me, especially after this study, how, and we're going to be focusing our attention here upon that grace of patience. Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8. Solomon says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Now, while you would have those that would tell us in the world that we need to have pride and we need to be proud and all of this that revolves around pride, but yet the Word of God says to be patient in spirit is better than proud in spirit, and that better is the end of a thing than the beginning. And while we are so anxious for something to start and something to begin, yet the end is even greater. Titus 2:2. What are we told here? That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. So those that are older are also told that as they grow older, they are to be patient. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. We have need of patience. You have need of patience. I have need of patience. And as we march our way through this, we're going to see just how important that is. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. As I stated, we are going to spend our time examining just what Christian patience is and how it affects our lives. Now, in this opening statement here in James, the Apostle James is writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered. So it's interesting, it's necessary to understand who he's writing to, that you might understand what he's writing to them about. He's writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered. So we need to understand that these that are scattered have lost their inheritance in their native country. Many of them are in a condition that is described in Acts chapter 8. Now keep your hand in James. Acts chapter 8. Verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. First Peter, keep your hand in James, First Peter chapter 1. Over just a couple of pages. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now Peter comforts them. He comforts these Christians that have been scattered abroad, that have lost their inheritance, that are now driven out of their country, out of their homes, that there is something that is far better for them than their earthly homes, their lands which they've been driven from. So we need to understand that these that James is addressing here, These believers had been driven out of their homes. Now put yourself in that place. You have been driven out of your home. You have been driven out of your land. And you've been driven into another country. And now you have to find work. You have to provide for your family. You've lost everything that you have. These are real conditions. They were having, not only had this taken place, they were having one wave after another of a trial upon them that would seek to trip them up. And now James says to them, he exhorts these believers and says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or trials. Count it all joy when you fall into these trials. James is rather abrupt here. And there's very little softening as he gives this exhortation, other than my brethren. But it is God that says through James to count it all joy. And that's joined with the latter part, when you fall into, and I will modernize this, different trials. Many different trials. And as Paul spoke this morning and said that it is to be in a trial is to be totally surrounded. Those are the very words, and we did not speak prior to this. Those are the very words that I have written in my notes. These trials and temptations are though you are totally surrounded by them. You are engulfed in them. It surrounds you from top to bottom. And so the exhortation would appear to be something that would be impossible to obey. To be patient and to count it all joy when you're in the midst of such sufferings. And to count it all joy, this it says that this is wholly joyful. Wholly joyful. Without any mixture of sorrow. So we are to be patient, and we are to be filled with joy without any sorrow. So this is where we actually begin to see the blessings that flow from patience. We are to count it all joy. It's a matter of joy when you fall, when you are totally surrounded with your trial. Now that doesn't mean that we are just to bear up under it, or that we are to merely suppress our emotions while we're in it. But we are to rejoice in the face of the trial, and to actually rejoice because of the trial. Verse 2, all joy. That is, it's the highest attainable joy that you can be rejoicing. When are we to do this? When are we to do this? Is it after the trial that we're to do this after we've seen the outcome of what will come out of the trial, the end of the trial? Realizing all the time that many times these trials are overwhelming. No, it's not after. It's beforehand. As if, it's as if we already possess what God would have us to gain out of the trial. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, we actually labor under two evils here. We're prone to either sink under despair, or we're lifted up with foolish pride. We're prone to one excess or the other, in one direction or the other. And the meaning here is not just that God has a foreknowledge of the things to come, but that we need to submit ourselves to God and not to worry about the why. Not to worry about the why. Trying to figure out with our puny brain why this is happening. But to be convinced that whatever God has decreed is right and good. And it's right and good for you. If when we're actually being beaten down with these troubles, and when we fall underneath them, it's not even when we're led into these troubles by steps, little by little, but of a sudden, quickly, when we fall, and not necessarily by one or two, but many trials, back in James, because the word in verse 2 is divers, translated manifold, many trials. This can be divers in relationship to your health, to your soul, to your family, to your friends, to your wife, to your husband, to your children, whether it's inward or outward. It is or can be like falling into a pit where everything is falling down around you, where you have nothing to stand or to lean on. Everything seems to be collapsing at once. And in this case, we're told to count it all joy. As if you had the most wonderful thing happen to you that was possible. Now that is and will be the hardest thing required for a person going through a trial. To do that. To count it all joy. To rejoice in it. To praise God for it. To thank Him for it. And yet, here's what we have to keep in mind. God would not require it if it were not attainable. It is attainable, but by no other principle than that of Christianity. The man of the world will never, ever, ever be able to reach that point. But the Christian can. I'm going to stop there, and we're going to begin this evening looking at the grounds for such a high level of joy. The grounds for this joy. And such a high level of joy when you fall into these trials and these temptations. When it seems like everything that you fall into that pit and everything is just falling down around you and there's nothing, there's no human confidence that you can grab onto. There's no intelligence that you can grab onto that's going to lift you out of this pit. It is at that point that we are to count it all joy and be rejoicing with God for that temptation. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, we thank You for that which You have given us this morning, and we pray, Lord, that You would instruct us out of Your Word. Instruct us, O Lord, in what appears to be something so contrary to human reason, and yet, Lord, not according to You, and not according to Your Word. We pray, Lord, that You would uplift us, that You would strengthen us by these words and by these scriptures that we've looked at this morning. We pray that You would strengthen us by Your Holy Spirit as we oftentimes fall of a sudden into certain trials, whether they be trials of our health, whether they be trials of our body, of our soul, of our families, of our jobs. As we look at these brethren that were scattered abroad, they had lost everything that they had. And the exhortation here is that they are to rejoice and be exceeding glad and count it all joy when they fall into these different trials. Lord, help us as Dr. Beakey recommended, that we put ourselves into the position of those that we pray for, and in this case, that as we look back, that we don't just read words, that we actually see the sufferings that were taking place here, and how these brethren were exhorted to be joyful in it. And Lord, we do ask Your blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen.